Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2009 Do It With Drupal Seminar. This year's event takes place December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers, and hear from experts in emerging technologies and the social web. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Eric Anderson, and Development Seed is kind of in between being an actual international development organization meets an IT shop. And what we do is we strategically partner with international development organizations mostly to build tools to help their teams communicate. Especially, like, one of our real edge cases is working with teams that have, you know, geographical dispersed branches. So, for example, I'm just getting back from a project over in Pakistan where we set up an open Atrium install for a team in Islamabad that had a team up in Peshawar, where it's much more violent. You know, it's only 2 hours away, but, you know, the security situation up there sucks. So for them to communicate with their team about some of the mapping needs and some of the data needs they have, you know, Open Atrium looked like a really appealing solution for them. So that's an example of some of the things we're doing.
So I've just noticed on your Twitter you've been sort of traveling all over the place. So what are some of the other places you've been traveling to, and what type of stuff you've been doing there?
The Islamabad trip was about 10 days. We had a Drupal meetup there. It was really good to start assessing the vibe, the local source vibe there. The potential is going to be amazing here, right? I mean, USAID is about to spend, well, I mean, the U.S. government is about to spend $1.5 billion a year in Pakistan. And a lot of that money is going to be directing towards aid operations. And, you know, a major component of an aid operation is making sure it's sustainable. Like, hey, this well needs to keep running. Well, wait a minute. What about the actual communication tools that these aid agencies are using? If they're using open source software, that means the actual program pieces can be left behind for local organizations, the organizations that they're partnering with. So if you have an intranet that you're building, if you're building a mapping tool set, you can actually leave that behind without any licensing fees and allowing them to further customize that out and also bring on local developers to actually do the build. So that's really interested in ways, especially with the current focus over on the AFPAC area, to see some of these tools take hold. After I flew in yesterday from Kabul, this was not so much decentralized communication needs, but much more along the lines of massive data visualization. I was brought over there for 3 days to assess the election data coming back in. You're looking at 27,000 polling stations, 6,700 polling centers that aggregate that, and trying to map the actual returns that are coming in very, very piecemeal, and trying to get a sense of, like, hey, why is voter participation so low? Where is it so low? Can we do the actual vote overlays with ethnic overlays? Should we have a hillshade-based map under that so it actually shows how, you know, like, these are really remote regions, right? Things like that. So that's kind of what I've been working on recently, that combination of Open Atrium and a lot of mapping visualization stuff.
So talk a bit about the Drupal tools that you're using in terms of the mapping and what sort of, like, open mapping type of stuff that you're having to feed in to make these maps.
Yeah, so the mapping stack for us has really changed a lot over the last 6 months. Probably if you would have asked me 6 months ago, I would be talking about NiceMap module specifically and running a custom WMS server. Because, like, you know, in short, the reason we don't use Google Maps. The reason we don't use Google Maps is we need very custom base layers. Like, if you're doing data visualization, like, don't just have the data on top of it matter. Make sure your base layer map is also really communicating well. And with Google, you can't control that. So we end up doing a lot of, like, you know, WMS map integration. But that requires actually maintaining a WMS server. I mean, that's a whole other thing to monitor and make sure it's staying up. Right now, we're doing a lot more with tiles and actually pre-baking the maps ahead of time, generating the tiles, and then using OpenLayers, which is actually an open source tile handling service. So like in Google, you know how you can drill down, and it'll, like, as you drill in, it starts loading up the little square tiles? That's exactly what OpenLayers does. It's basically the JavaScript framework that allows you to call up the custom tiles. So we're able to generate those custom tiles ourselves. or you can use something like OpenStreetMap. We're using a lot of data from OpenStreetMap. Or you can go and get really sexy tiles from CloudMade, designed by Stamen Design, who I totally have a crush on as a design firm. You know, you can bring in really custom tiles, whether you're making them, whether you're using somebody else's, whether you're using OpenStreetMap, and using this with OpenLayers. And that's been our big move recently. And OpenLayers basically acts as a style plugin for views. And we've done a lot of work to make sure it performs well. Like I was mentioning with the Afghanistan data, like, you sometimes have a ton of points. We map almost 14,000 school districts in the U.S. So on every school district page, I can show a nice little slippy map with density points of demographic and achievement data. Am I loading all 14,000 points when I show that one little view? You know what I mean? So, like, actually doing, like, logical views based on the bounding box, you know, like, these are some of the real improvements that are happening right now to the actual stack. On top of that, we need to make sure that not only did we have really good-looking custom base layers, but that we also had a really good-looking framework. Like, the actual open layers, like, you know, drill in, drill down buttons, being able to really customize some of the icons on it, like, works well. So there's been a lot of style improvements to the open layers module recently.
And so if I do a fresh Drupal install and I, you know, get up and running with views, and what other modules would I need to install in order to be able to have this sort of stack?
Right. So I would go get open layers. And then the question comes up of, okay, how do I actually add geo information to my content to put on the map, right? It needs, in the end of the day, it needs a latitude longitude point. It's a question of where you get that. There are modules out there like Geo. There are modules out there like Location that can provide a latitude longitude point on a node type. But honestly, a lot of our projects are really like data heavy. So we're actually using the data module and going to geonames and getting a whole listing of country names, putting them in with the latlons, and then just kind of tagging posts and being able to then quickly do the visualization over it. But, you know, like, that's kind of a bazooka sometimes. If you're just trying to do, you know, map a bunch of, you know, hot dog stands, location module and open layers could be really fast to set up, like half day, and meet your needs.
Cool. And does that interface with, like, say you have, like, a Google Maps, or is that the Google solution? It's completely right. Different.
No, great question. You know, another module that we really like is this Mapstraction module. And it basically creates a framework to operate over a bunch of other JavaScript frameworks. So you can use OpenStreetMap's tile server. You can use Google's tile server. You can use Virtual Earth tile server. So basically, you can switch out what maps you want to pull on the fly. So all your views are already made, and then you can just point over there. So like Mapstraction with location could be pretty sexy for a lot of use cases.
And then since Development Seed is located in Washington, D.C., you're obviously around a lot of government. You've been also participating or keeping your ear to the ground to the open government movement in a lot of conferences and meetings. There seems to be a lot more of that energy since the Obama administration came in. So maybe talk a bit about like where you see that sort of going and where Drupal fits into that.
So I had a really good meeting with Anish Chopra 3 weeks ago, the new CTO to the U.S., talking about open data, specifically in regards to how open data is going to be important for certain events. I mean, we were talking more specifically about what kind of tools could help in a communication situation, kind of like swine flu. But there is really a change in environment going on. Back in November, a couple people on the team were talking to Vivek Kundra, who's now the CIO on the open data side, because we did some open data projects with DC. This is good news. This is refreshing after 8 years of bad things to actually see some real forward-looking people. So to get a sense of what that actually means on the action-based side, at the last Drupal meetup, there were two people from the White House there, one person from Health and Human Services just there for 508 compliance for Open Atrium. And there's also rumors of other agencies that are going to be going Drupal. And yeah, that's, I personally think this is going to blow up big time in a really good way.
And so I guess you're sort of privy to a lot of like on the cutting edge information as to what's happening here. So what do you sort of see happening in terms with Drupal 6, with Drupal 7, and what's sort of on the horizon in terms of where this is going?
The biggest thing over the next 6 months is going to be features are going to become mainstream. Features as in the actual Drupal project, drupal.org/projects/features, for people that don't know what that is, basically it's a way to capture your configurations on the site in code. So you got Drupal core and you have these modules that then plug into it. But like, how many modules does it take to create a blog? Right? It's like 5 modules. Okay. After you configure that blog, what if you could export that? Actually capture that in code as kind of like a meta module. And that's what a feature is. So now when you need a blog for a client or you're an organization that is running a bunch of sites, you literally go in and just enable the actual blog feature and it will just turn on. It's a one-click turn-on thing. And this is kind of like the expectations that there's always been with modules and stuff. So if you actually open and look at the code of a feature, it actually is a list of dependencies, then a giant config file. They're able to create a really amazing code management from actual staging to production, and at the same time of being able to disseminate to other projects and literally just turn it on.
And so with Aegir and be able to launch sites really fast, and also with OpenAtrium is sort of integrating into these features, so how do you sort of see these things combining, and do you see more features sort of being dumped into OpenAtrium per se, or just in general Drupal, or where do you see this sort of evolving?
Yeah, that's a great question. Both. Atrium itself is going to have a lot of features added, but not actually to Atrium, quote-unquote, core, right? We're already seeing a lot of shops actually set up feature servers. It was alpha code that was released like 3 weeks ago. It's going to be announced today of how to actually set up a feature server in about 5 minutes. And now any shop can kind of set up, like it's like an app storefront, where basically you can expose your feature to the world. You're going to see a lot of people doing this around OpenAtrium because the feature paradigm is so established there. But, I mean, why wouldn't a shop set up like how they want their blog, you know, a blog feature, an actual image gallery feature, press room feature? I mean, what a great way to actually attract clients right out the blocks. Just like install these features and see how I think things should look. So feature servers and just like creating a more, like, is going to allow a lot more decentralized focus where certain shops are going to be able to speak to really, really niche communities. Like the OpenAtrium community, like, okay, this is a knowledge management focus, kind of like project management space. But if you get the up channel working right, where, you know, you disseminate a lot of functionality out with feature servers, but then actually allow to start passing people back to the Drupal community that actually want to work on some of the base modules and whatnot, I think it's actually going to help really grow the community.
Sounds like great stuff and very exciting. And I guess one thing that sort of implies is that's going to be changing the Drupal ecosystem in some way. And how do you sort of seeing that evolve from this point and moving forward?
We have to figure out how to fix the packaging on Drupal.org. We've more than outgrown that environment. But I dream of a day where on D.O you can actually select a certain flavor of Drupal. You can, one, download core, which will be smaller. Two, download Drupal Press, which will be like some lightweight WordPress clone. Three, download, like, what, name it, like an e-commerce package. I bet a little store package would be really hot. And their installer profiles, right, where you have a bunch of features already built. That is an out-of-box experience. Like, right now, the Drupal out-of-box experience is dead. It will be dead for the Drupal 7 launch. It's just like, there's no way that you can meet everybody's expectations here. And Drupal's always been in this funny spot between a content management system and a framework. That's a really great spot to be in because it gives you the flexibility of a framework at the same time of getting a lot of stuff for free that you can with a content management system. But what it means of for an out-of-box experience is being in a funny middle ground that kind of sucks. Once we get the actual deployment right out on D.O and we can actually have like more specific installations of Drupal, that's going to blow people's mind. I'm excited about that big change happening in the Drupal ecosystem. And then I think it's going to allow us to make a smaller core. There are exciting benefits there. So,
okay, great. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.